This is Michael Gerber, and you're listening to Contractor Stories.
Yeah, I was a dick, man. Like, but I was so determined on what I wanted and how I wanted it done that it was my way or the highway. And I wish there was a lot of relationships that I burned that I wish I could go back and fix. When you grow a business fast, you burn a lot of relationships. A lot of stuff gets pushed to the side, right? Like a lot of people want to they want to see like the success, but they don't see the dark side, right? But there's a lot of things that go in the background, right? Like, you know, when you're so focused on building a business, even your employees. You don't think about your employees as much. You don't think about like, you know, you don't really enjoy the moment. You know, we went to 5 million for year one, man. Like I didn't really get to enjoy the moment that much. All of a sudden we're 5 million, then we're 12 million. And all of a sudden we're like this massive organization. So I think if I was to look back, I would have slowed down. I would have enjoyed the moment. I would have built more processes and procedures in my business to make it easier on me. I would have went on more vacations. I would have hung out with my kids more.
Entrepreneurship, got that inspiration. Yeah, now I'm just doing it. Working on these projects, my ideas I'm pursuing. No matter what the problem, the solution, I'm proving it. Let's talk about it and open up the dialogue. Contractors telling their stories about how they got it started and how they keep it going. The passion fuels the mission. Now we blasting in the orbit, we gone. That's where we grow from. Started with the vision, make the pitch and knock it out the park like home runs. We keep it moving, self-belief, no doubt. Pass off the mic to my man's Jim Cloud.
On Contractor Stories, we have the one and only Victor Rancor. And I say that because there's a belt with his name on it. Hey, Victor, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Jim? How are you doing, buddy?
Doing well. It's great to have you here. There should be no one watching this, Victor, who doesn't know who you are, because we are here for the contractor so they can hear and learn more about you on Contractor Stories. You do podcasts yourself. You've been on many, but I don't think you've been on one like this, because the Contractor Stories, we go back in time and we bring it all the way up to today because we want to know what's going on with the man behind the business. So, are you ready for this?
I'm ready, man. Like, I've always been an open book. So, you know, as I guess open up the book a little bit more and learn about me. And I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff people don't know about me. And I think it'll be good to kind of get it out there so they kind of understand like what makes me tick and stuff.
This is a common question I ask people. Let's go back to when you were a kid, which wasn't that long ago because you are a young guy. But let's go back to the 10-year-old Victor. Who were you? What were you like?
I mean, 10 years old, so that puts me around like, I don't know, sixth grade or something like that. It's kind of funny because right around that age, it was when I was a straight A student at that point. But that's, you know, I had really good grades. I really liked doing my homework, really liked focusing. And that's kind of when I started meeting some of my friends that didn't like to do a lot of that. So I met some of my friends that kind of, you know, changed my trajectory on things that I was doing in life. But, you know, I was a good kid, man. I mean, I like to follow the rules. I mean, obviously, like back then, you know, kids actually went outside and played. So like we were always outside. Like I had a really good, you know, house I grew up in. I grew up with my mom and, you know, my mom and my stepdad. My stepdad raised me since I was one. And at that point, I never met my biological dad. So I had a dad that raised me. He's my dad to this day. Obviously, I've met my biological dad since then. But I had a good childhood, man. Like my mom was in sales. My dad worked at Home Depot. They worked different hours and stuff. So that we were kind of, me and my brother were kind of latchkey kids. So we kind of let us kind of do what we wanted. They had a lot of trust for us. I mean, I know nowadays, like the thought of your kids walking themselves to school and then coming home when you're not home and having a key to your house. Like, I know that's not really heard of nowadays, even though I feel like it's even safer now than it was back then, but whatever. But yeah, so I mean, back then I was outside a lot, man. We didn't, you know, we had video games and stuff, but we were the kids that were ride around the neighborhood on our bikes because we don't have cell phones. And you got to find out where your neighbors are at or where your friends are at. So you just look for the house with all the bikes in front of the house. So we're always outside. I was always an athlete. So I was always, you know, playing sports as a kid. Mostly football was more my passion than anything else. But, you know, I was a kid that was outside on my skateboard, my bike and playing sports. And at that point, 10 years old, I was a straight A student at that point. And then went a little downhill from there, though.
So there's no question that you've been winning ever since you were young, because you continue to win in business today and in your family life. Do you think that the sports like football, the athletics, the team building and so forth had a big influence on you to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sports is part of my life since I was, you know, five. I started playing tackle football. And it did change a lot, man. Like it kept me, you know, away from some of the dumb friends, right? I had to go to practice every day while my friends still hung out and did stupid things. But it was one of those things that always kept me motivated. Like I wouldn't have graduated high school if it wasn't for football. I went to school so I could play football. I didn't go to school. I didn't go to school. You know what I mean? Like, that's what kept me in school. It's what kept me focused. What kind of pushed me through. You know, I've had bad ADD pretty much my whole life. So it was always hard for me to focus. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I always dealt with was like football is the only reason I went to school. Otherwise I could barely focus on anything. So yeah, I mean, it's been good, but also, you know, I grew up playing quarterback. So I was always a leader. I was always the guy that kind of got people motivated. People would follow. I was able to always excite everybody. And I think I've carried that into obviously business ownership, because, you know, half of being an owner is becoming a leader and becoming the person that people want to follow and becoming the person that people want to work for. And I think I learned a lot of that stuff playing football and getting, you know, how to get people involved and get them excited.
Yeah. So Victor, I take it the NFL turned you down. So then you decided to be a contractor, right? What's the story? Did you always know you were going to be in this type of work?
No, I mean, obviously the NFL still calls me every day. I mean, they know Tom Brady retired. They needed someone to step in to be the real GOAT. But no, man, like I didn't have any plan on being a contractor, man. I got out of high school. You know, I worked a lot of odd jobs. I worked a lot of sales jobs. You know, obviously my mom being in sales and a lot of my family members being in sales, I kind of understood like, hey, there's a high level earning opportunity. But I never had anything where I just could like, I can really grow in, right? Like something that was like a real career, real career path. So like my early 20s, I did a lot of phone sales, stuff like that. So, you know, I got really good at it. Everything I've ever done, any job I've ever done, I became kind of the best at it within that company, whether it be the sales, whereas I was always able to put a sales process in place and kind of lead people down the path that I wanted. Even if it was phone sales or whatever sales I was always good at it. I was the best at bussing tables when I was a bus boy. Like I bust my ass when I was a server. I was the same way, man. I've always had a really good work ethic when I had the opportunity, but I also had a dark side, man. Like I like to party and I'm one of those people, like when everything's going good, I like to like, so I did a lot of that in my early 20s and it kind of led to, you know, me moving away. I moved to Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, I grew up in California, you know, in Huntington Beach area pretty much my whole life. And then all of a sudden I made some bad choices and I ended up in Cleveland, Ohio when I was about 22 years old. I had to sell everything I had, moved out there. And my uncle gave me an opportunity to work at an oil change place. So I went from sunny Southern California to living in Cleveland, doing oil changes for $6.75 an hour and down in the oil pit, getting oil splattered in my face, you know? So that was only, you know, less than 12 years ago for me. So, you know, I made some bad choices. I've been there, but even while I was there, man, like no matter how good I did, Victor always reverted back to being a dumbass. So that's something I've kind of dealt with most of my life.
You know, I love Cleveland. I met my wife there 25 years ago while I was living there. Cleveland's not bad. It seems that you were into self-sabotage. Is that what you mean by screwing stuff up all the time? Did you sabotage yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a cycle I've dealt with my whole life. And, you know, and I've gotten, you know, I've been able to kind of catch myself a lot better. But yeah, I would say it was self-sabotage a lot of times. You know, I grew up, you know, around, obviously I was the oldest brother, but my mom was the oldest of eight and she had five younger brothers and they were pretty much like my older brothers because we were so close in age because my uncles are only, you know, 4 or 5 years older than me. So I kind of followed in their footsteps and they were mostly degenerates, man. They grew up in Baldwin Park, which is really a really kind of ghetto part of town. We were the only white family there. And I remember being a kid and my uncles were in gangs and I remember my grandma's house, like drive-bys and stuff like that. And while she was babysitting us. So these are the kind of things that I kind of grew up around. And these are kind of the people that I looked up to, you know, were partying and, you know, I kind of just fell into that kind of line. But I also like, I think I've been like the one that's like trying to change my family trajectory. And I've been the most successful one ever in my family. I'm definitely the first millionaire in my family. So, you know, stuff like that, man, I've had to battle it and stuff like that my whole life. But yeah, so I would say self-sabotage is something that's definitely happened a lot in my life. Honestly, I had no vision. To be honest, I went through a lot of hardships in my early 20s and, you know, and really just no direction. I had no direction, no goals. Obviously playing sports was always a big thing, but you know, the same thing, man, even in sports, like I'd work my ass off for a couple months and then sabotage myself or whatever it was. So it was just always like a vicious cycle. Never had any really goals and aspirations. I finally moved back to California about a year after living in Cleveland, you know, and while I was in Cleveland, I did kind of cut my teeth and almost similar thing to, you know, and I talked to a lot of guys when they're hiring, like hiring these oil change guys is really similar to running a tune-up. It's the same thing, right? You go in there, it's a cheap $19 oil change Next thing you know, you're spending $250 and you got, you know, filters and all this extra stuff and you're merchandising, right? So I really got to learn how to merchandise while I was there. So, when I was working in Cleveland, the store that I worked at was the 32nd worst store in the whole company. And there's 32 stores. And when I got there, I was a guy in the oil pit. And the only way to get out of the oil pit is learn how to sell and merchandise stuff. So I said, hey, like, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity to get out of the oil pit. So they gave me an opportunity. I went up there and I crushed it. I turned the 32nd store into the number one store. And like I said, everything I've ever really put effort into, I became the top at it. So I became the quickest to ever become a manager there. Obviously, I became a manager and it got me a whole whopping like $8 an hour. So like it wasn't like it was a big upswing in money. But yeah, so, you know, I think I got to cut my teeth a little bit in merchandising there. And I didn't realize that it was going to kind of lead into what I do now. And then when I moved back to California, you know, I kind of got back into the same stuff I was doing. I was serving tables and then I started getting into phone sales. And while I was there, I was doing the phone sales. I did what's called loan modifications. So this is when people's credit was crap and they're losing their houses. I would help them negotiate with the banks to get, you know, to get back on track with their payments, right? And they'd pay me a significant amount of money to do that. You know, whatever $10,000, $20,000 checks they would send me and I would make good commission. So I created a process, became the number one person at loan modifications in my company until all of a sudden one day out of nowhere, that company gets shut down. It got raided and shut down. So then at that point, I started getting into construction. You know, my girl's father-in-law was a general contractor and he said, hey, look, I'll pay you and I'll teach you how to be a contractor. At that point in my life, I never really worked on my hands or anything, but you know, I was like, oh, cool. It's an opportunity that can be something I can build towards. I can have my own company. I can do this. So I got into contracting. Mostly we did a lot of masonry work, some high-end finish work, you know, remodels, things like that. So I really picked it up quick and I picked up how to do it, but I kind of fell in love with it because it was like, hey, it was like actual work, right? Like I'm actually bust my ass and I get done at the end of the day. I felt like I actually accomplished something. I got to build stuff from scratch. So like, you know, every once in a while, some photos from back then will pop up of like stuff that I built, like these bad and the amazing outdoor fire pits and patios and all the stuff that I was able to build, which was pretty cool. But also it taught me how to work with my hands and how to be confident in that. So it kind of, like I said, it's kind of like all the little things that I went through in my life kind of all led into what I ended up doing. And what I ended up doing was answering a damn Craigslist ad back in 2015. And that's how I got an HVAC.
Victor, who has been the most influential person in your business life? So think back and go back to when you first started working, maybe when you were a young man. The most influential person, is there one person where you say that guy was my mentor or very influential?
Yeah, I mean, that would be my father-in-law. I mean, like I said, becoming a contractor, it was good, bad, and ugly, right? Of what can be, what happens if you don't get a lot of stuff in order, if you don't really start learning how to hire employees. So obviously he's a contractor and he's one of those guys that likes to do it his way, right? And he was a dick. He was very demanding. He would yell at me. He would berate me. But I just shut up and listened, right? And I got to learn a lot of stuff. And I also got to learn, a way to manage people, a way not to manage people. I got to see a way to run a business and not run a business. I got to see what happens if you don't start putting processes and procedures and hiring people in place. Because guess what? Now he's 55 and he's got two knee replacements. He can barely walk, can't get out of bed in the morning. So I got to see, you know, the good, bad, and ugly of the contracting business and what happens if you don't take it serious and don't build a business and try to do it all yourself and what happens to your body. So, you know, I would say it's kind of crazy. Like even when I'm working on stuff nowadays, like some of the stuff that he used to yell at me, like I'll be doing it and I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like a PTSD of him yelling at me, but it reminded me of like, oh no, you got to do it this way. Yeah. He taught me a lot. His name was Harry. Harry is, you know, he's exactly what every contractor turns out to be if they don't build a real business. And, you know, but he still has that stubborn way, man. He's just so stubborn. It has to be his way or the highway. And if it's not perfect, then he's not going to do it. And that's why he was never able to grow or scale his business. So, you know, I'm almost kind of like the runt compared to some of them, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 6'8". Like we got a bunch of big people in my family. So there's a lot of food going around, back in the day, it was a lot different. A lot of my family's moved back to Cleveland now or passed away. So like now it's like, it's the only people left over here are just me, my brother and my mom, as far as our family in California. So it's definitely a little bit different now. But back then it was a busy house, right? My mom was the oldest of eight. Everybody had kids. It was a wild place. You know, I think I was always the one that kind of like stood out, like, you know, like he doesn't belong with some of these idiots, but I still kept hanging out with them. You know what I mean? So it was kind of a blessing they moved away, kind of get away from all that influence and stuff. But yeah, no, it was always fun. I mean, my house growing up was the party house. So like every weekend, everybody would come over. We had our pool. We know we'd always have parties and the neighbors would party. So, like, you know, back in the day, like people actually, like neighbors used to like talk to each other and hang out with each other. So that was pretty cool. So like I got to grow up in a community, like everybody, like, we had all of our best friends live right there. All of our parents hung out together, partied together. So we had a good community growing up. And that's where, even with our family events, like we'd have some at our house. And so it was a good childhood. Like I think that a lot of people don't get to live the childhood that I did. But a lot of that stuff changed right after I got out of high school with my parents getting divorced and things like that. So a lot of that family dynamic changed in my teenage years, and that caused a lot of stuff to change in my life. But yeah, now growing up it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Victor, not all of us, but some of us have regrets at some point in our lives. Do you have a regret? And if so, what's the biggest one?
I think the biggest regret, right, is when you grow a business fast, you burn a lot of relationships. A lot of stuff gets pushed to the side, right? Like a lot of people want to see like the success, but they don't see the dark side, right? And this is some of the stuff that I talk about in my book that comes out in November. But there's a lot of things that go in the background, right? Like, you know, when you're so focused on building a business, even your employees, you don't think about your employees as much. You don't think about, like, you know, you don't really enjoy the moment. You know, we went to 5 million for year one, man. Like I didn't really get to enjoy the moment that much. All of a sudden we're 5 million, then we're 12 million. And all of a sudden we're like this massive organization. So I think if I was to look back, I would have slowed down. I would have enjoyed the moment. I would have built more processes and procedures in my business to make it easier on me. I would have went on more vacations. I would have hung out with my kids more. I would have been nicer to a lot of my friends and family and my relationships, you know, the first couple of years. I mean, I was a very, almost like I was a dick, man. Like, but I was so determined on what I wanted and how I wanted it done that it was my way or the highway. And I wish there was a lot of relationships that I burned that I wish I could go back and fix. But I think number one thing would be, you know, just to slow down, enjoy the moment, and then spend more time with my kids. You know, they're starting to get older now. My daughter turns 9 next month. She was four when I started this business. And, you know, I lost a lot of that connection relationship with her that I wish that I can go back and get. And, you know, now that's kind of what now that I've sold the business and I have time, like I'm just trying to spend some time with my kids and enjoy them and watch them grow up and coach their football teams and all that stuff. So I think that's my biggest regrets.
Victor, that being said, would you agree it's very challenging for entrepreneurs, small business owners, to be very successful in growing that business and managing that business and also managing the home life?
It is. I mean, to do what I've done and what some of these other contractors have done very quickly, it takes everything. Like, people don't realize it was 7 days a week, 365, relentless. Like, I was up early in the morning, work late nights, you know, family vacations, I'm on my phone. I couldn't just shut off. And it's a very challenging thing, but it is possible, right? And this is some of the stuff that, you know, as a coach now and coaching contractors, and these are things that I talk about, like, how do we make it a priority? How do we put family first, right? And if you put family first and you put your employees first, then everything else we could figure out. But yeah, it's a very challenging thing. And it's just something that, like, nowadays I care more about that. And I think it's hard because we get these blinders on, right? We look at money and we see all these things and we get excited and we have our egos and all this stuff. And especially nowadays, everybody's like, work harder and blah, blah, blah. Like, you watch all the social media people and got out hustle everybody. Put your family first and then everything else will work itself out. So I think that's something that if you're a contractor, you're listening to this and you're working those late nights, it ain't worth it, man. Figure out a way to put the processes in place or learn how to shut off or take some time with your kids, because your kids are going to be the ones that remember it later, and you don't want to regret that. Yeah. I mean, you talked to me 5 years ago, I wouldn't have listened to a word you said anyways. You know, like my mindset was, Victor knows best and you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about. My head could barely fit through the door because my ego was so big at that time. And I made a lot of mistakes and I paid, you know, I've paid probably if I had to count $10 to $20 million I lost on my education, on things that I could have done differently, things that I would do differently now, things like if I was to start the business now, what I did was impressive. But there, I would stat up. I would be $100 million already by myself. Like, it would have been no question. So there's a lot of things that you learn, a lot of lessons you learn, a lot of stuff that, you know, you overthink. You don't think about, right? Like, you don't think about, you know, that your friends are, you know, not, you know, you just let your friends go or do whatever, hire your friends and trust everybody, not put any checks and balances in place. you know, not understand your financials, not understand your cash position, not understand what happens when you finance things and how interest rates matter and all this stuff. So, and all taxes and all this stuff. So you don't realize it as you're growing. And especially if you don't have a business coach or a mentor to kind of reel you in, like a lot of my clients, like they're like, they want to be like me, right? They want to move fast. And I'm over here like half the time, I'm like, here, I'm putting their dog collar on and pulling them back. I'm like, no, 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 relax, bro. You're not ready for it. So, you know, I think that having a mentor is important, but also getting around people that have done it. So a lot of guys, you know, they get around me and they get excited. Some guys, they go through the motions every day, man. People go through the motions so often. They just, you know, they go, you know, mundane. And when they get around someone that's very successful or someone that moves like I do, it gets them excited. And that's what I like most is like my contractor is like, yeah, all the stuff you teach me is great. But like, dude, you've actually like motivated me to like what the opportunity is out there. Because right now there's never been more opportunity in the home service space ever. And some of these guys just haven't woke up to realize it. And that's kind of what a lot of my passion is too, is getting guys to realize the opportunity they have. I don't want to do this for 10, 15 years, 20 years. Like the, you know, the old school guys, they wanted to have this business forever. Dude, you can have this business for 3 to 5 years and become a multimillionaire and go sit on a beach the rest of your life. Or do you want to do this for 30 years? And right now you're going to do it for 30 years. If you follow me and listen to me, I'm going to help you get out in 5 years and make a ton of money and become rich and not have to worry about this. This job sucks. This job sucks, especially if you're not making any money.
Victor, what is, in your mind, the biggest win you've had in your life, either personal or professional?
The biggest win I've had in my life. I mean, I think exiting my business, man, it was the biggest. So that was the hardest thing to do mentally. It made me mentally sick, physically sick, depressed. I went through every range of emotion going through selling my business and I didn't want to do it. I just every day, like I'd wake up, I'm not doing this. And I had a lot of good friends in my corner that said, look, you just need to pull the trigger, dude, because it's killing you. It's killing you. And I don't care about the money. The money doesn't matter. It was my mental health. I didn't realize was deteriorating trying to run this business. I haven't been happy running my business in years. I didn't really want to be part of it. I didn't really like being there. I have such bigger aspirations and goals and things that I was working on outside of my business that I didn't realize that this thing was causing me a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress that it wasn't even needed. And I think my biggest win was finally accepting that I got to let it go, because first off, I wasn't the leader I needed to be because I wasn't invested in it like I used to be. I was so detached from my family, detached from my friends. It was constant, like always under stress, that when I finally cut the tie on it, right? When I cut the tie on it, it was finally able to be myself again and slow down and open my eyes and realize what's really going on and what really matters. And I think that's probably my biggest win is getting my life back from what I was dealing with every day. And it was a lot. Like, I don't think many people understand what I go through on a daily basis or the amount of stress, anxiety, and moving pieces. Like my mind is like million. I got 12 companies that I own all over the country, plus my training and all this other stuff. Plus I was running 100+ person business every day. It was a lot, man. So I think that was my biggest win is finally getting my life back, which I have now. So like, yeah, most of the time I'm just chilling on the beach or hanging out by the beach nowadays. So it's been nice.
That is so awesome. If I'm not mistaken, and I may be wrong, but 12 to 24 months ago, did you not post from a hospital bed? Didn't you end up in the hospital with something? Was it stress, anxiety, panic attack or something?
Yeah, it was about a little over 12 months ago. Yeah. I mean, I was getting bad chest pains and I didn't really know what it was. It ended up not being anything, but I think it was more an anxiety based. But like I said, it's, you know, I do things that normal people don't even think or even try to do. And people don't realize, like I said, you know, throwing events is, you know, it's millions of dollars, it's stress. And plus, you know, running a business at the size that I was running at, you know, over 100 employees, and there's all these trucks on the road and there's a lot of cash moving in and out of your bank accounts. And plus I'm trying to do training, plus I'm trying to be a dad, all these other things, like they all add up. And, you know, doing one of those things is hard. Doing 10 of them is really hard. And I didn't realize, like I said, what I was doing to myself, but it was, you know, I think it goes back to my childhood, right? Like I just, you know, you guys see my social media stuff and a lot of the stuff is built around ego and just kind of get attention. Like, I mean, I remember being a kid, like I wasn't like, and I was kind of picked on a lot in elementary school. My ears were this size, but my head was a lot smaller. So I used to get made fun of a lot for my big ears and shit like that. And I wasn't really like, I was more of like a mama's boy than I was like a fighter back then. And now, like if someone says something to me, like, I'm not someone to back down to anything, but back then, like it used to hurt me and I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be like the guy. Right. And I kind of built myself into that. And what happens when you do everything in the spotlight, right? Everything that I do, every post that I make, everybody, like, they don't like it. They won't say anything on it, but goddamn, that thing goes around to everybody, right? One screenshot and it gets out to everybody. So everybody kind of listens and watches everything that I do. And so just, I'm always under a microscope, man. I just think that I think a lot of people don't realize the amount of stress and pressure that I put on myself. And I am, you know, I'm 34, man. Like I started putting all the social media stuff out at, you know, 5 years ago. And I'm a different person than I was then. I'm a different person than I was last year. But people only remember what they remember about you. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, when they meet me, they're like, you're like legit and you work hard. Like, yeah, I'm like, dude, I didn't just show up. Nothing was spoon fed to me. I've been taking care of my parents' bills, my brother's bills, and helping people for all my friends for as long as I can remember now. Like I've been taking care of people, my family for a long time. Like I don't have people that give me anything. This is all I created from scratch, from my idea that my psycho brain has.
We may have touched upon this already, but I love asking people this question. If you could go back in time in your life at any point in time and get a do-over, do it again, what would that be? Now, there's only one, Victor, okay? Because I know we all have a lot of things we'd like to go back and change. Like, gosh, I wish I didn't say that. I wish I didn't take that job. I wish I didn't hire that guy. What's the one thing that pops out? You better believe.
Just a quick note here, guys. I want to ask you for a favor. My guests and I really want to bring you, the home service professional, the best quality podcast possible. I just have one simple request. Would you please subscribe to this podcast right now? In return for your favor, I promise to bring you the best of the best in the home service world. Guests like Billy Stevens, Tommy Mello, Ismael Valdez, Al Levy, and so many more. Thank you for listening, and I promise to bring you much more just like this. You better believe.
I wish I would have planned my business before I started my business. So, you know, one of the things, obviously, I had no plan of starting this Absolute Airflow. I literally was, you know, I was a top sales guy for my company. I just came off a all-time record month from sales. Like we're the biggest sales number ever in the history of the company. I'm about to get a big ass bonus. And I decided, you know, I went to my buddy's pizza shop and I was a little upset the way the guy was treating me, but mostly how he was treating my brother and my friends that worked there. And I remember just having the conversation at the pizza shop and all of a sudden we have a couple IPAs and it sounds good. Let's start a business, right? Well, once I get my head going onto something, like I'm not a 1 foot in, 1 foot out type of person. I'm like, hey, we're going. And, you know, that night I went home, came up with a business name, came up with all this stuff. And then, you know, a couple of days goes by and I'm like, okay, I'm going to start this business. And then, you know, me and my brother, he's going to start working with me. And I was like, I told my brother, I was like, yeah, I'm going to quit. Well, I meant like quit after I got my bonus and like all this stuff. And my brother's like, he calls me like, hey, I just quit. I'm like, what? You actually did it? Like, I wasn't ready to quit yet. So like all of a sudden we quit my job and I'm making a shit ton of money and I'm starting a business. I have no idea what I'm doing, how to start a business, how to attract customers, how to do financials, how to do anything. So it was literally from idea to action in 5 days, literally idea to a business in 5 days. I didn't have a contractor's license. I didn't have the insurance set up. I didn't know what I was doing as far as marketing. I didn't even know our first job, we ran it through my friend's pizza shop's credit card processor. Oh. So I get done with an AC job and we go run the credit card. My buddy's like, I just bought a, you know, $9,000 pizza. The hell's going on here? Like, there's a lot of things that like, I wish I would have thought about, put plans in place and just been more, I guess, you know, tactful going into it. But that's just also my personality. Like if you go and like take a DISC test or any of those like personality tests, I'm like I'm an action taker, but like I am a very reactionary person. I'm a very, you know, my ex called me willy nilly. Like I just do whatever I want. And when it comes to my head, I just go all in. And I think it's been, you know, very detrimental to a lot of stuff I've done, but it's also what's caused me to be successful. And I always tell people like, I make more decisions I can make 10 decisions before you make one, or I might fuck up on three of them, but I get seven right. Now I'm already seven decisions ahead of everybody else that only made one. So I think that's something that's been very successful for me, but also very detrimental. That's hurt me in a lot of things. So yeah, I would go ahead and plan the business out before I did it.
Victor, it's interesting you say that because my next question is what is the secret to your success in business? And I think you just nailed it. It's I'm going to push real hard. I'm going to make some mistakes, but my momentum is going to allow me to win. Is that true?
That's exactly how I feel it. And I also have an unwavering belief in anything that I do. Like I'll go full speed on it and I'll push and push until I realize that until I know for sure that it was wrong. But sometimes you have to believe in what you say. Like so many guys give up so early. Like I'm also like, I look at business and I look at life down the road, right? Like what I do today, like we talked about the events and all the money I put into and all the stress, but like, what's the compound effect of that event over the next 5 to 10 years? What's it going to do to me? What's the compound effect of me posting social media videos every single day for the next 5 to 10 years? What's the compound effect of us creating a podcast and taking our time and doing it? Like it kind of sucks building a podcast. You all of a sudden your first one, you're like 80 listeners, like 80, what the heck? I thought this was the best podcast on the planet. And then, you know, it takes time and it starts snowballing and you start getting 100,000 listens and downloads and all this stuff. So a lot of people want, you know, they overestimate what they get done in a year and underestimate what they can get done in 5 years. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, it's one of those things. It's like, you have to just make a decision. You have to go all in and you have to believe in the process and believe in what you thought about in the first place. Like I knew day one, when I started my business, I was like, I, what the term is, burn the ships. Right. I was all in and I wanted to build the biggest, best home service company in Southern California. And a short period of time, we built the fastest growing home service company in the country. And we all not only did it, you know, we did it the right way. We didn't rob, steal, or cheat. We had some of the best reviews. We took care of our customers. My employees love me. There's not very many people that work for me that will say, hey, look, I don't like that guy. So we did a lot of things right. And it's just because I believed in myself and I kept pushing forward.
I think this is a huge success story, Victor, because you've done something at a young age with such great success in terms of financial success and building a business that you were able to sell. You made a crap load of mistakes, my friend, but the benefit is you're young. When you go to do another project, it's going to be a lot easier and cleaner, and you can help millions of, literally the whole world, if they just go to your events, they buy your book, listen to podcasts. I mean, you are the poster child for what not to do. No offense, but what not to do. And that's how people learn. It's so much better to learn from other people's mistakes, everybody. Learn from Victor.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I enjoy it now. Like, and I look back and I laugh, you know, and a lot of people, like, they would get hung up on some of the mistakes I made. They would just be stuck on it. I'm just like, dude, like, it is what it is. I have an unwavering belief in myself that I'll make my way out of it. I also, you know, like I said, I've learned my, you know, a lot of people are like, man, you know so much about business. I'm like, yeah, because I've failed so much and I've done a lot more. Like I joked the other day that I forgot more about business at this point than some of these guys know. And it's like, it's reality. I've learned it the hard way. And I've also took my time, like, you know, throwing these events. It didn't start with this. I went to events, right? I would go to events and I would see them and I would learn from them and I'd start listening to people. Then I started getting around winners, you know, the Tommy Mellows and Ishmaels and these guys, and I'd see what they were doing. And I'd get around people that I wanted to be part of. And I go to Andy Elliott's thing and Brad Lee. And I just start meeting these people that I'm like, okay, I want to be like these guys. They've done things that I want to do. And I go and pick their brain and figure out what they did, how they did it. And I go and implement, right? Like the biggest thing that I take away from anything in life, right, is action. I didn't become one of the top sales guys in the country because I didn't go ask other people what they did. I took everything in life. No one's doing anything new or original anymore, right? Nobody. It's R&D, right? You take a little bit from everybody else and you rob and duplicate it and make it your own. And everything that I've done, I've learned off of somebody else. I took it from them and I made it my own and I made it either better or just did it differently than them. But we're all doing the same. It's just who can apply it, who can take the information in, and then who can apply it faster. I apply information faster. If I find out something that's going to work, I'm implementing it today. I'm not waiting until next month. And I talk to my clients a lot. I'm like, dude, I've told you all the same for months and months and months. You haven't implemented it. If you asked me why I won and you're not winning, is because if someone gave me that information, I'd be like, dude, we're implementing it today. This is how we do business going forward. This is a better way. I'm not messing around anymore. And this is how we do it. So many guys are too scared to just pivot and look and find a better way and admit that they were wrong and move on.
And that's where you've changed, because you were the guy who wouldn't admit that you were wrong and you didn't want to listen to anyone else. And I've got to say this, Victor, I'm proud of you and congratulations, because you've at this point in your life, you've gotten to the point where you understand where you were and who you were. And if you kept going down that road, you probably would have ended up dead.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a reality, and it's, you know, and I think it's good because I get to see some of my family members in the position they're in, and what happens when you don't change, right? Like, even like, I met my biological dad for the first time last year. When I met him, I've never met the guy in my entire life. I'm 33 years old. He gets out, he walks like me, he talks like me, and he looks like me, but he looks like me if I didn't change my life. If I didn't start making the right choices, that's what's I'm gonna look like. You know, he's almost 70 years old. He's a hardcore alcoholic. He has to drink a bottle of alcohol in the morning just to stop shaking. He's sick. He's dying. He's got, you know, stomach cancer. He's burnt every bridge he's ever been part of. His kids don't want to talk to him. And, you know, he's living in an apartment in Boston doing odd jobs just to survive. And that's the reality of what could happen to me. And I think it's a good reminder of, you know, first off, thank God that my dad that raised me because he had great work ethic. And he was just a good person and overall just, you know, taught me how to be a man. Thank God that's who raised me. And then also that, like, dude, like, I have to be right. I have to be better for my kids. I have to do the stuff that the hard stuff that we don't want to do. I have to do it because I want to make sure that I leave a legacy that matters and someone that people want to be around when I die.
Yeah. Victor, this has been amazing. I wish we could talk all day. We're going to have to go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously our events in Texas, you know, if you've ever been to my events, I try to bring young, exciting people on there, people that are in your shoes that have owned 7, 8, 9-figure, 10-figure businesses in the home service space. I like to make it very actionable. I want you to be able to come in and be able to learn. We do a lot of panels. You could do a lot of Q&As with these owners, but I brought in some guys that have grown big businesses in small markets, in big markets, have been done acquisitions, have done a lot of the stuff that you want to do within your business, or even exited their businesses for a large amount of money. They're going to come in and tell you the actionable stuff the things you can do today to start getting your business ready for that. And also I brought in some of the best motivational speakers on the planet as well. And then if you've ever been to one of my events, I make it really really fun, right? Like we throw big after parties. We have our welcome reception that's going to have a live band. We'll have our after party with the live musician. So we do a lot of stuff where you can come and mingle with these people because a lot of the stuff learned on stage, but a lot of stuff is the interaction, the people that you meet there. Some of the best people I've ever met and that become good friends of mine, I met at events, just at the after parties or just hanging out in the hallway and asking questions. And if you do come and you do have tickets, you know, whether you have them or not, or if you show up, don't be shy, man. Ask your questions. You paid the money to get there. Don't stand over in the corner. Go talk to people. Dude, I'm the most outgoing person you'll ever meet. Every event, I will shake everybody's hand. I'll introduce myself to everybody, but don't be scared to ask me. Don't be scared to ask, you know, Wyatt Hemp was with Any Hour or Lance Bachman or some of these other guys that are going to be there that have done things that you want to do. Because this is your time. Everything you get to do there, you're like, just be open because every one of those people was in your shoe at some point and asked somebody else for help and got to where they are now. So if you guys want to come out, go to events.callprofitrocket.com. Get signed up. You're not going to regret it. We have a beautiful hotel that we rented out, beautiful venue, do everything top notch. And like I said, I hope you guys have a great time. And hopefully when you get there, you guys, I first book at the event. It's going to pretty much like a sales Bible. It's everything you need to know about home service sales. From every process that I run, every objection that you can think of and how to overcome it, not only how to overcome the objection, but also how to prevent it from even happening in the first place. Because the last thing you want to do is deal with objections at the end of the table. I'm going to teach you some of the stuff and tricks that I did inside the house to make sure that when I got to the table, we didn't have objections. So if you come, that book's going to be released at the event. And then my second book that's going to talk about my journey, some of the struggles I went through, and some of the things I would do differently if I was to go back again. I got two books coming out in the next couple of months. And yeah, man, I'm just blessed to be on the podcast. I'm glad you asked me. You know, obviously it's still kind of weird to me. I got imposter syndrome. You know, I go speak at these events and I go do these things and I still feel like I don't belong, but you know, I'm just blessed to be where I'm at. And I'm just glad that I can help people. And that's kind of where I'm at now in life. I just want to help as many people as I can.
Victor, it's looking forward to seeing you. And I want to be first in line to buy your book. And I want you to sign it for me, please.
Yes, sir. I'll be right there, brother. Like I said, I'm excited to see you there. And exciting, they're going to have some live podcasts there. So you guys will be able to see them live and in person at the Profit Rocket Growth Summit. I'm excited for what you guys got going on here. I mean, it's always good to hear people's stories, the real stories, right? I'm very vulnerable. And I hope the next guy that comes on is vulnerable because this is the stuff that people need to hear. People need to hear about losses. It's not all about wins. Social media just shows it's your highlight reel, right? Dude, let's talk about the losses because these guys need to hear it. People need to understand, especially the guys right now, all they're hearing is your wins and they're getting their teeth kicked in and they didn't realize that you got your teeth kicked in plenty of times and stood up. So if you guys do come on this podcast, you guys hear this, just not all rainbows and cupcakes.
Victor, on that note, thank you so much. You better
believe. Just a quick note here, guys. I want to ask you for a favor. My guests and I really want to bring you, the home service professional, the best quality podcast possible. I just have one simple request. Would you please subscribe to this podcast right now? In return for your favor, I promise to bring you the best of the best in the home service world. Guests like Billy Stevens, Tommy Mello, Ismael Valdez, Al Levy, and so many more. Thank you for listening, and I promise to bring you much more just like this.